This is the Poetry Magazine podcast for the week of February 13th, 2017. I'm Don Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
I'm Christina Pugh, the consulting editor for the magazine.
And I'm Lindsay Garbutt, assistant editor for the magazine. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we listen to a poem in the current issue.
The title of Kiki Petrosino's first book was Fort Red Border, which is an anagram for Robert Redford, one of the most least likely anagrams ever. Part of that book is a series of lyrics spoken by a woman having an imagined affair with a famous actor and director.
Her latest book, Witch Wife, is coming out this year, and we have one of her poems from that book in the February issue. It's called Nursery.
It's written in kind of a loose villanelle form. It's a 19-line poem, so you will hear certain lines and images repeat.
Here's Kiki Petrosino reading Nursery.
We opened the door to the ferry house and took our tea on matching pebble seats. Somehow we got out of there alive, though something crystalline of us remains in that dark, growing its facets. We opened the door to the ferry house at the oak's black ankle. You asked what could happen as you disappeared somehow. We got out of there alive, the strange tea still warm in our bellies. Inside, our hosts gave damn few answers. Who built that door? Is this a ferry house? They had no faces yet. We spoke into their quince bud ears. You wept. Somehow, we got out of there alive, though we didn't quite return. Our life is different now we've drunk the tea. They're alive, somehow. I got us out. Why did you open the door to the ferry house?
There's something funny to me about writing a poem as a kind of loose villanelle.
Yeah.
I mean, that stops you in your tracks right there. I like this sort of playing around with the form because it's so easy to let a villanelle write itself. And what's intriguing here in formal terms is that this villanelle pushes against it, which leads to a kind of uneasy texture.
Right. Yeah. I think villanelles are often used to write about something in a sort of obsessive way, that you keep returning to the same lines over and over again. And here there is some of that, but there's also a way in which the narrative sort of breaks down. We don't really know exactly what happened. This ferry house is a very strange place. So for the villanelle to stick together in the usual way would sort of undermine the whole idea of the poem. So the fact that it doesn't quite work, that there's something off,
right,
is, as you say, disquieting in the same way that the poem
is. You want it to be predictable, and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that is, to me, the hallmark of a sort of nightmarish vision or a weird dream, is that, you know, it seems familiar, but it isn't at all. It's never familiar, even though it's like, oh, yeah, it's a dream. But we inhabit these visions like that. And I think it's cool in this poem for that uneasiness to sort of battle with form for its own existence.
Mm, yeah. It seems the questions are important in that regard as well.
You asked what could happen as you disappeared somehow.
It turns into questions that really don't have specific answers.
Who built that door? Is this a ferry house?
Why did you open the door to the ferry house? In that regard, it seems as if it's really opening up not only the form, but the thought and kind of the investigation about what happened. To me, at least, it seemed to be a poem, at least somewhat, about trauma, childhood trauma. You think of something like Louise Gluck's Gretel in Darkness. It's also, you know, kind of thinking retrospectively about a fairy tale experience on the part of a character. But it's much more declarative and less investigative, I think, less open-ended in terms of, you know, the questioning.
Yeah. Well, because it's on the threshold of something, which is,
yes,
what haunts the poem. What's strangest of all in some ways, that the first line of the poem says, we open the door to the ferry house, you know, and then they have their tea. It sounds sweet. And at the end it says, why did you open the door to the ferry house?
Yeah.
And it's like, who is being accused here? I mean, is it a, is it self-accusatory? Is it this strange companion? They have merged together in that dreamlike fashion that is so frightening, but you can almost hear it. I just love that because when it starts, it seems very benign. You know, we opened the door to the fairy house and took our tea on matching pebble seats. Isn't that delightful? You know, at the end, it's like, you know, I got us out. Why did you open the door to the fairy house?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the title does some similar work there because you see the title and it's nursery and you're like, oh, that's kind of comforting in a way. But nursery rhymes are also often kind of odd and kind of, I don't know, for me personally, they feel like sort of a trap. You know what the rhyme is and you know where it's going to end up. And so it doesn't quite fully explain itself in a nursery rhyme. And I think this poem does the same thing. And then in thinking about nursery as also a place where children are kept, is supposed to be a comforting sort of place for growth, but it often feels very confining, I think.
Well, but there's also the nursery where you go to buy a tree. So I was thinking about that because it says, we opened the door to the fairy house at the oak's black ankle, which is very, very sinister.
I love that. Yeah, you know? It's so provocative, the oak's black ankle. Really, it's that the K sounds, the O, the A, the A. It's amazing. I think there's this disjuncture between nursery and nursery rhyme, and then there's fairy house and the implicit fairy tale. It seems like there's this play with phrases that we know and missing words of phrases. And for me as a reader, I thought of, you know, nursery as, yeah, being the place where babies or, you know, kids would be, and that there was something sinister about this tea. Of course, I couldn't help thinking also about Alice in Wonderland and Mad Hatters and things like that. But it feels as if there's also something deeply distressing about this. So I guess it's, you know, it's kind of wonderful with the form that it does end here, that it ends with the question, that we don't get more of an exposition about this, that we need to make our own interpretations about the tone and what's really happening here.
Well, because something was starting to happen and they kind of escape from it. What's interesting in the middle of the poem?
Inside, our hosts gave damn few answers. Who built that door? Is this a fairy house? They had no faces yet.
Had no faces yet.
Yet.
I mean, yet. When are they going to have the, it's really monstrous and fun.
We spoke into their quince bud ears.
You're trying to picture these alien cabbage-like creatures or something. It sort of builds on itself the way a villanelle would. But what the real building blocks of the poem turn out to be are these frightening visions and images and voices.
They're alive somehow. I got us out. Why did you open the door to the fairy house?
You can read Nursery by Kiki Petrosino in the February 2017 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
You've been listening to the weekly version of the Poetry Magazine podcast. We'll have another episode for you next week, where you can get them all at once in the regular Poetry Magazine podcast, which is posted on SoundCloud.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
The Poetry Magazine podcast was recorded this month by Stephen Dotchek and produced by Curtis Fox.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbett.
I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.